2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 7. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not ourselves.
All right. Well, this morning, I kind of want to build on a foundation that has been set with us recently. A few weeks ago, I got the opportunity to talk about example and how important our example is. And this morning in Bible class, actually for several weeks, David has been teaching about Colossians. And this morning he really brought up strongly the idea that we need to fill ourselves up with good things. There was five things he specifically focused on. See, I was listening in class. So, there are things that we need to do to fill ourselves up. So, we have an example. We have a task to do to fill ourselves up in the Lord. And with those as the backdrop to our lesson today, I want to ask you the question, how much would you be missed? So we're all familiar with the old story, A Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart played George Bailey in a little town. And if it wasn't for George Bailey, the town would have been in rough shape. George got to see what things would be like if he wasn't around. There was no family base. There were no homes where people owned their own homes. There was lots of gambling and bars. There were people that he interacted with to save their life. His wife would have been a spinster. There were some things there that were amazing that he did in his life, the way he lived it, that would have changed that. But without him being in the world, he would have been missed. His good deeds would have never occurred. And sometimes I think it would be interesting to consider our own life and where the world would be without us. And we might say, well, you know, I'm too humble to think that I have any impact on the world at all. Just think about it. The people around you, the folks you work with, the folks in your family, the folks you interact with on a daily basis. What would their life be if you weren't around? Well, the Apostle Paul spent 3 years with the believers in Ephesus. And he and the members there grew very close. And there was a time when Paul had to leave them. Paul did his missionary work. He went on. And then as he was coming back, he stopped by with them and called the elders to Miletus. And he was telling them kind of a last message. They knew that he wasn't going to be with them anymore. His leaving was a sad time for the church of Ephesus, and Paul sensed in his spirit that this would be the last time he'd see these Christians on earth. Paul invested 3 years of his life discipling these new Christians, so they probably talked about all the exciting times they had together, how God had blessed them. They spoke of the victories they had won, the souls saved, and the all-night prayer meetings. They talked about the skirmishes they had with Satan and his forces of evil. Paul would be very deeply missed by the Ephesian church. I want this morning to look at three reasons why Paul was missed, and I want us to consider how they would interact in our life. Turn with me, if you will, over to Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house." This is how he started his discussion. And there's a lot of things that he goes over with these brethren. They had chewed a lot of dirt together. They had been through difficult times together. They had been through good times. They had shared tears and trials. But Paul did not shrink from declaring the gospel. So the first reason I would tell you that Paul would be missed is because of how he lived his life. Paul lived his life in such a way that he wasn't a burden upon anyone. He was serving the Lord with all humility and tears. He didn't shrink from declaring the word. He even worked. Paul was a model Christian among them. And he lived his life in such a way that he would be noticed. Paul was a servant who was faithful, humble, and compassionate. If you're a servant with these three qualities, you're certainly going to be missed. We think of brothers and sisters who've gone on to their reward that hold special places in our heart. You know, I constantly think about Mary. Mary was not a gospel preacher, but she left an impact on this congregation. She would hug people. She would teach kids. And she was a very humble individual. We remember her because of her servanthood. I wonder, when I've gone, what will people remember about me? And I hope that you think about that as well. What kind of legacy will you leave? If you're a servant with the qualities of being faithful, humble, and compassionate, these things will serve you well. But if all you do at church is sit, soak, sour, and complain without serving, you probably won't be missed except like an irritating itch. You know? Yeah, I remember that guy. Glad he's gone. you know, we don't want to be that kind of person. We want to be the type of people that are loved for the work that we've done. It doesn't mean that we always agree with everything. It doesn't mean that we're always happy about things. But there's ways to deal with things. And we deal with them in love. Show me a person who sympathizes, empathizes, and cares for others instead of themselves and what they want, and I'll show you a person who will be greatly missed when they're gone, because there's something attractive about an unselfish and caring person. Secondly, Paul was missed because of the message of his life. Whether we're missed or not, we'll all be remembered for something. You will be remembered for the things you did or the things that you said. You know, I remember as a kid hearing Nikita Khrushchev say, "We will bury you." I think they're still trying to bury us, but they haven't been successful yet. I also remember hearing messages on the radio from V.E. Howard. He was known for many great sermons in his radio ministry. V.E. Howard had the tagline, "Are you listening?" Whenever he made a point, "Are you listening?" That was the motto of his life, if you will. Well, according to verses 20 and 21 of Acts chapter 20, we know that Paul was known for telling people the truth and proclaiming the gospel. Verse 20 says, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." We know that in verse 22 it says, "And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." We knew that Paul was under duress, that Paul continued to preach the message regardless of his situation. And he was remembered for that. The 21st century religious world has a lot of opinions, but few convictions. But Paul said that he'd rather die with a conviction than live with a compromise. Eventually, he would die for his convictions. The truth is that if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. You know, my mom said that to me about 10 years ago, and I just kind of rolled my eyes. But the more I think about it, the more it's true. We have to stand for things. We need to always go back to the old paths of standing on the truth of the Word of God. If we go down to verse 27, the scripture there says, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Do we live our lives in such a way that the message of the whole purpose of God is projected to others? Do they understand what we're about? We need to live our lives with a good message, and we need to preach the word. Paul was missed because of his life's motto. Let's look at verses 33 through 35. Acts 20, 33 and following. "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Paul's life was based on the idea that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Do we have a motto in our life, something that's related to the Lord, that others see within us? We need to make sure that we're projecting to others the message of Christ. Paul's motto came from Jesus at the end of verse 35 when he said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." In this world, there are givers and there are takers. The takers may eat better, but the givers sleep better. The givers are remembered and missed. The takers are remembered, just never missed. Imagine the last day of Paul here on earth. Maybe he was in a little jail cell. Picture the executioner showing up with the axe in hand and dragging him to the chopping block. We don't have it recorded in Scripture, but tradition is that Paul was beheaded. Paul stands up, and the guard instructs his flunkies to chain his hands and feet. But Paul says, "That's not necessary. I won't try to get away. I die daily." And with no fight or resistance, he lays his head on the block, and the executioner strikes. Paul gives his life, and the executioner takes it. One is a giver, the other is a taker. And Paul, awaking in paradise, stands before Jesus and hears, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And those on earth, whether believers or not, are forever impacted, and Paul is forever missed. We don't have this recorded in Scripture anywhere, but I can see the truth of it. We understand that he was a giver, and we understand that he lived his life to proclaim the gospel. We understand that he was a good and faithful servant. His manner, faithful, humble, and compassionate. His message, the gospel of Christ. His motto, better to give than to receive. These are things that we can live by. But I want you to consider another man, a man named Judas Iscariot. In John chapter 13, 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. During supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him." You know, Judas allowed Satan to mess with his heart, and he decided he was going to betray Christ. If we went to Matthew 27:3, "Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to it yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood. And they conferred together with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. And then if we went over to Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. We don't remember Judas lovingly or fondly. At best, we wag our heads and try to understand how someone who had been with Jesus every day could end up in such a sorry state, in a field of strangers. He's not remembered well. Judas is remembered for the wrong reasons. So what I would ask you this morning is, how are you going to be remembered? Will we be remembered fondly by the brethren, or as a relief from irritation? Will we be remembered for the good things that we've done in service to the Lord, or remembered for the retribution required for those not in the Lamb's Book of Life? How are you living your life? Faithfully, humbly, compassionately? What message are you sending to others? What words do you live by? You know, I had McKinley read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 for a reason. And I ask that you take this with you today, because I think this is in alignment with a model that we can use to be remembered by. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. It's said that our example preaches a message. Are we preaching Christ through the things that we do every day? Are we speaking of Him from our lips? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Do we act like we're His bondservants, like He's our master? For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Have we filled ourselves up with the Word? Have we filled ourselves up with Christ's love? Are we showing that light to others in our example? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed and not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we live constantly, being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Is Jesus in us? Does that allow us to live a life, a legacy, where we're remembered that we were His servants and that we were among Him on the earth with others? How will you be remembered? This morning, if your example, if your walk has not been as it should, and you'd like the prayers of the church, we would love to go before the Lord in prayer to correct that. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to wash away your sins and start that legacy in such a way that you're remembered well because of your service to the Lord and because of your joy over what He's done for you, we'd ask you to come. We'd be happy to baptize you. Please come while we stand and sing.